We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to another episode of Her Hoop Stats Unplugged. As always, you're here with Megan Gower, and it is February. We are in the last month of the regular season for college basketball. Time flies when you're having fun, and it's certainly been fun. Lots of upsets, once again, to talk about this week. Seems to be the theme with women's college basketball this season. To break down kind of what we've been seeing over the last week or so, I'm here today with Adam Vachon from our Her Hoop Stats team. Hey, Adam, how's it going?
Hey, Megan, doing well. How are you?
Doing good. It's been another fun Sunday of college basketball, so that's exciting to talk about, I think.
Absolutely. It's been particularly chaotic this season, so gotta love the unpredictable nature that this women's basketball season has brought us. So, yeah, ready to dive in.
For sure. I mean, I don't think we can go like a week without having a bunch of upsets lately, which it makes it fun, right? Like we were just talking about offline, like I think you really, other than South Carolina, I don't know who's going to be in the Final Four. And that's a very fun problem to have and to try to decipher. So it's
certainly
exciting next month and a half or so, because it's already February somehow.
Yeah, the season is just flying by, but it's going to be a really fun next couple of months to see, because like you said, South Carolina is the only one I really feel pretty confident is going to be in the Final Four. Otherwise, it's kind of a crapshoot. So yeah, it's going to be a blast to see how it unfolds over the next couple of months.
Exactly. And the countdown to March is on, because it is 22 days away.
Oh my goodness. Crazy.
But yeah, not to get too ahead of ourselves, we're going to start with what's happening right now in February. But we did have a big top 10 matchup today. And then, of course, the top 10 matchup that also has some historical significance. But UConn, Tennessee, number 7, Tennessee at number 10, UConn this afternoon. Not at all the outcome I was expecting to see, especially when UConn announced that Caroline Ducharme, who has been pretty much leading the team in scoring since Paige Beckers went down, was going to be out for the game. But UConn beats Tennessee by 19 points. Felt like they were pretty much in control of the game from like towards the end of the second quarter, and then really opened up in third and just ran away with it.
Yeah, no, I really feel like toward the end of the first half, UConn kind of gained control. And beginning of the third quarter, that 14-0 run was just the turning point. Kristen Williams and Nika Mule just really compiled that run and turned a 7-point lead into a 21-point lead. And the way that Tennessee's offense is looking lately here, that's just too big a deficit for the Lady Vols to overcome. So Yeah, no, just really, I know this term gets overused, but it was really a statement win for Connecticut, particularly without, like you said, Ducharme and Paige Beckers. It just really seems like that this Husky squad is really starting to gel, and it'll be interesting to see how, you know, once Ducharme and later on Paige Beckers, once they return, what this Husky squad, you know, at full strength can really do. Gino saw a quote post game, Gino Auriemma, as he typically does, said it is a very dry sense of humor. We could be good in March. That might be the understatement of the year. But yeah, once everyone's healthy, it's really going to be interesting to see how deep the Huskies can go in the tournament.
Yeah, he also had some jokes today about being a 7 seed in Spokane. So he was full of the humor after the game today.
Yeah, after a 19-point win against Tennessee, I guess he was feeling pretty jovial. So
yeah, I feel like not often that you see Gino in a good mood. I mean, he was slamming the scorer's table up 22 against the number 7 team in the country. So.
Oh gosh.
I would expect nothing less. But yeah, I mean, I thought it was a statement win for them. And I think something that UConn's resume really needed. It's just not something that they've had on their resume. The best one they have is probably the one over Notre Dame. This is definitely the best win, at least for now, that's on that resume. So a really solid effort from them, I think, especially to take losing to Ducharme in stride there and just be able to go out and kind of continue what we've seen over the last couple Big East games and really pull it together against a top tier opponent was good to see. I think particularly on the defensive end, I mean, they had a great offensive game and we can talk about that, but defensively, I mean, Tennessee shot 28% from the floor. Like, they're by no means an elite offensive team, but they're also not that bad offensively usually. So a lot of credit to UConn's defense. I mean, Jordan Horston is really the only player that got anything going on offense. She had 26, Ray Burrell got some going late on and had 11. I mean, 17 for 59 from the floor. UConn fouled quite a bit, which sent Tennessee to the line. They scored 19 points there. It's hard to imagine what it would have looked like offensively had they not sent them to the line so much.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I guess kind of on the flip side, looking at the offensive end, you know, Tennessee is, or before this kind of recent slide, was one of the best defensive teams in the country. And in their last four games, they've posted their four worst defensive ratings of the season. You know, those games were against UConn and Arkansas. I can understand that. Those are very good offensive teams. The other two are against Florida and Auburn, which that's the Auburn one though is a massive head scratcher. Putting up 75 points against a very good defensive team is was a very impressive performance. AZ Fudd, you know, dropped 25 points, 7 of 9 from long distance. Don't know how you leave her wide open. She just has such a gorgeous shot, and she's shooting over 50% on the year. Kelly Harper, you know, in the post game press conference said that definitely wasn't the game plan. I would hope not. And it's crazy to think that this is just her 8th collegiate game. It's crazy. So dropping 25, 4 assists and 4 rebounds and shooting over 50% from 3, just very impressive. The sky's a limit. The sky is the limit for that one. So, and I guess the big question mark I've had for UConn has just been their interior play, getting consistent interior play from, you know, Nelson Adota, Leah Edwards, Dorka Juhas. Leah Edwards, she had probably the best game of the season for her. I think Gino said, like, that's kind of the old Leah Edwards that we got last year, that consistent production that we got from her last year. She had 14.7 rebounds. So you kind of want to see more of that going forward. You know that you have a star-studded backcourt. You really need that consistent production from the front court to really compete against the best of the best, the South Carolinas and whatnot. So so that was a very promising performance by Edwards and crew. So.
Yeah, I agree. I thought Aaliyah Edwards was spectacular today, and that's not really something we've seen from her this season. So I think that's a good sign for UConn. I mean, she's a player that led the country in field goal percentage last year, and that just has not been the player that UConn's seen this season. But I think hopefully this is a sign that she's starting to get back to that, which I think is ultimately going to be a good sign for UConn. They didn't really get a ton done inside in this game. They only had 12 paint points, which is definitely on the low end. But they got it done, obviously, from three, lazy footing, seven of those, yeah. And also in the mid-range, which, I don't know, I feel like there's something to be said with, like, that's not great to see them not have a great interior game, but also something to be said for them getting it done in the mid-range and on the perimeter, because that's two areas that they've struggled from this season, and they were able to get it done against Tennessee, and probably some adjustments there, knowing how good of a shot blocker Tamar Key is, playing kind of to adjust to that.
Yeah, no, they definitely, it's a good point, knowing your opponent and knowing that you kind of have to extend them out to the perimeter, because like you said, Tamar Key is such a good shot blocker, has such great, reach that you kind of have to, extend your offense, space out your offense, go for those mid-range and behind the arc jumpers. So it makes total sense.
Yeah, and I think additionally, just knowing that you're a little bit outside up against Tennessee. I mean, Tennessee's a big team, and then UConn not having Duke Charm, who's kind of their biggest guard, them even more of a size disadvantage there. So playing in a way doesn't, exploit that as much.
Exactly. Yep. Makes sense.
So yeah, good win for the Huskies. They also have DePaul again this week, so it'll be interesting to see kind of how they can carry this into that. But I feel like this is the last time we're going to see UConn against like a top tier opponent until March, so I guess good to get a look, but it'll be interesting to see how things continue going forward. And with Paige Beckers hopefully back soon, the latest update there is that there's a meeting tomorrow with all of her doctors about kind of coming together with what the plan is for return, so we should have more of an update there this week probably. But UConn's a little close looked on there, interested.
Gotcha.
We'll see.
And Ducharme, I saw that was she was held up for precautionary reasons because she took like a few blows to the head. I think that's what Gino said. So do you know if there's any update on whether she'll be back against DePaul? Or
I would expect her to be back against DePaul. Kind of what Gino said is that she doesn't have a concussion, but like they can definitely tell that taking a few blows to the head has kind of taken a toll over the last couple of games. So took her out for precautionary reasons. I would assume, maybe she doesn't play Wednesday because they have a game against Villanova Wednesday, but I'd expect her to be back by Friday. He kind of made it seem like a couple games or a couple days just to get her some rest and that she was getting better day by day.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Well, at least we should hopefully by the end of this week start seeing a UConn minus Paige Beckers at full strength, which is something that hasn't really happened this year.
Absolutely.
But speaking of that Tennessee slide, talk about the SEC and probably starting with what the heck is going on with Tennessee, because they have had probably the like most perplexing last week and a half or so basketball that I could imagine. Starts off with last Thursday, so not this past Thursday, the one before, the NCAA committee releases their like projected top 16 seeds as of Thursday. Tennessee is a projected number one seed. And then promptly follows that up with a loss to Auburn. It was Auburn's first SEC win since the SEC tournament in 2020. So quite a while ago. Then needs overtime to take care of Arkansas at home, loses to Florida by 25 points on the road, and then loses to UConn by 19 today. So we just, it's been an interesting week and a half for Tennessee.
Yeah, I completely agree. I really don't have answers. I don't have an explanation as to what the heck is going on with Tennessee. I literally have in my notes the Tennessee slide because they're 1-3 in their last four games. And like I said, two of those are blowout losses to UConn, you know, UConn minus Paige Beckers and Caroline Ducharme. It's, I would have expected that to be a closer game, not necessarily a blowout loss. And Florida, who, you know, they've strung together, we'll talk about them in a bit. They've strung together some good wins, but still a 25 point blowout loss to the Florida Gators is just not something I expected at all for a top, for a team that in that last top 16 release was one of the number one seeds. And then the biggest head scratcher of them all, like you said, against Auburn, a team that's last place in the SEC, 1-9, their one win coming against one of the best teams in the SEC. I know coaches sometimes say that anybody can beat anyone in our conference on any given night, and it's usually ridiculous. I usually don't believe it, because I think it's just a way to, you know, keep their players engaged and make sure that they kind of bring their A game every time. But it's almost true in the SEC. I mean, take out South Carolina, but I mean, Auburn beat Tennessee, one of the top two or three teams in the SEC. So it's a head scratcher for sure. I mean, throw a few stats out there to try to explain this. They're really struggling with turnovers per game. They average 17 and a half. That's the 257th, excuse me, worst in the country, or 275th in the country. Against, in their loss against Auburn, they were -9 in a turnover deficit. Against Florida, -9. Against Arkansas, which they did win in overtime, they were -6. I feel like that's a big part of it. And typically they're able to overcome that with their very solid defense and their rebounding. They're, you know, one of the top rebounding teams in the country. But on the defensive end, like I said, they, in their last four games, they've had their four worst defensive ratings of the season. So they've been struggling with turnovers and they haven't brought it defensively. So that is not exactly a winning combination, and it's resulted in a 1-3 mark over their last four games. So, we'll see if they can right the ship. It seems like you just kind of need to, you know, cut back on those turnovers and go back to kind of your calling card earlier in the season, which was your stingy defense. So,
yeah, agreed. The one thing that Kelly Harper pointed to today was the loss of Ken Green and the fact that, you know, not having that leader out on the floor has hurt them. But I mean, I just have a hard time. A player that's played 14 minutes a game, averaged 7 points. Like, yeah, it's a loss, but it doesn't explain where they've been, like the dive that they've taken. It's too far of a dive to be, have it just be that. So, yeah, hopefully they can right the ship, kind of get back. I think the defense thing is key, right? Like, they've been struggling with their offense all season long. It was worse than usual against UConn today. I think what we've seen against Florida, Auburn, like, 59, 60 points, like, that's not that far off for what they're typically doing. But I mean they had 86 against Arkansas, granted, in overtime in the win too. So, like, they've been able to get things done offensively, but defensively it's just really been not this performance we're used to seeing. And then to me, like, watching it up close and in person today, like, the intensity just wasn't there on the defensive end. Like, UConn won that game because they hit open shots. Like, I didn't think that, like, they, you know, had some kind of miraculous offensive performance against this solid, really solid Tennessee defense. It just wasn't a great Tennessee defense today. And like you said, I mean, leaving AC flat open, you can't do that, things like that, but also just really all kind of all over on the mid-range and on the perimeter. UConn got a lot of good looks.
Yeah, exactly. And even right now, Tennessee is still number three, at least before, you know, this evening's slate of games. Tennessee was number three in opponent's field goal percentage at 32.9%, even after this slide. So that just shows you, you know, how great their, you know, their defense has been, whether it's been shot blocking or forcing opponents into bad shots. And four of Tennessee's opponents' best shooting performances have come in the last five games. Florida being having the top percentage at it was over 50%, and UConn, which shot I think like 44-ish%, they're number two. I think it's really about writing the ship defensively. That's going to turn things around for the Lady Vols.
For sure, yeah, I'm trying to come back into that, top 10 conversation. Honestly, I know they're ranked 7, so they're probably not going to plummet that far this week in the rankings. Our rankings have them about 22. I feel like the way they've been playing, especially the last week, that probably feels about right. So a team that I thought we were a little low on before, but I think that feels about right now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, yeah, we will see what they can turn around. I think they've got a little break before they've got a really tough opponent in the SEC. I think they still have LSU and South Carolina coming up, but not till the end of the month. So hopefully, like we said, the SEC, there's not really an easy out. So that doesn't mean that they're going to not going to have trouble with whoever they do have to play this week, but hopefully having, some top 15, top 20 opponents can help them. But what you said, really true. Any team could be anyone in this conference. You see Auburn that beat Tennessee, and then, your second worst team or lowest team in the SEC rankings right now is Kentucky. So can come out and beat anyone any night. So
yeah, Florida at 7-3, and Kentucky at 2-7. That was something that was not exactly on my bingo card to start the season. So yeah, the SEC is just. It's chaos and I love it. I wrote about in one of my weekly roundups, I mentioned that the Big 12 is chaos and I'm all for it. The same can be said for the SEC or honestly the Pac-12 or honestly all of Division I women's basketball. It's been a crazy season. It's been totally unpredictable. It has been a blast. So
yeah. It's been a lot of fun. I don't envy the committee at all this year, and it's not an easy assignment.
No, that's a tough job. So good luck to them.
Yeah, gone are the days of these are very clearly the top 16 seeds in the tournament.
Just yes. Not that easy anymore.
Nope. Yeah, definitely not. Continuing kind of around the SEC, I feel like we have to talk about Florida because yes, they knocked off Tennessee, but they've also knocked off Georgia today, which was a big upset. Georgia, the team that was in those top 16 overall seeds 2 weeks ago as well. And they knocked off, if I'm not mistaken, LSU. Yeah, LSU a week and a half or 2 weeks ago. So a team that's definitely making some noise, like we said, sitting at third place in the SEC. Tennessee is that team at second place. So if they don't turn things around, I don't think it would be shocking to see Florida surpass them right now. Especially because, they've got a pretty tough next slate. They've got Auburn, which shouldn't be as difficult, but they've got Arkansas, LSU, and then Vanderbilt and Missouri to close out the season. But I think a surprising kind of SEC performance for this Florida team that I don't think was really on anyone's radar, kind of to be a mix for the top of the conference coming into the season.
No, not at all. Like I said, they were picked 11th by the coaches, and they've really strung together a trio of great ranked wins. They've got a close one against LSU. They got the aforementioned blowout against Tennessee, and today's close win. It wasn't pretty, but it was, it's a big upset. It's a big win over, a top 20 opponent in Georgia. So the Florida Gators are really stringing together a pretty solid resume, quite frankly. Kiara Smith has put together some really solid performances for the Gators against LSU. She had 23 points, 8 assists, 3 steals. And against Tennessee, like I said, one of the top defenses in the country, she had 25 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals. So she's really filling up the stat sheet and really leading the Gators to a 7-3 mark in the SEC, which, again, I don't think anyone could have predicted.
Yeah, exactly. Even their game against South Carolina, which they lost, obviously, but they were within 12 points, which is one of South Carolina's kind of closer margins, I think, in the SEC. where it just at least feels like that, maybe. Well, no, it is still one of their closer margins in the SEC. They've had a couple of closer games, but that's certainly one of them. So, you know, to go out and hold a Gamecocks team to 62 points, I think that's really impressive as well. Looking at all those kind of margins in the SEC, no one's held them to 62 points. So impressive outing. Or sorry, I lied. Arkansas also held them to 61 points, which is baffling. But anyway.
Their defense. No, you're right though. Their defense against at least Kentucky, Tennessee, and Georgia has been outstanding. They kept them all under 60 points, and they had a sub 80 defensive rating, which against those three teams, not all of them are offensive juggernauts, but still they are top. Well, Kentucky was a top 25 team once upon a time. We can talk about them maybe later. Another head scratcher, but sub 80 defensive rating against those three teams is very impressive and has helped them to their recent string of success, which has them at 7-3 and near the top of the SEC standings.
Yeah, exactly. It's been interesting to watch. Mm-hmm. And then, like we said, they've knocked off LSU, one of those other kind of teams that you expect to be in the mix for the top of the SEC. I feel like LSU didn't play this week, but they did, they had that loss, which they've kind of, and then they followed that up with a loss to Arkansas as well. Arkansas is a team that's been a little bit hot lately. I feel like they've, always a team that has the capability to get hot. They rely so much on the three-point shot. So if they can go out and knock those down, they're going to have a chance to beat anyone in the conference. But yeah, LSU has not played since the 30th. So I guess
Kentucky, right?
Yeah. That was like a week ago. So it's been a little bit since they've played. But they've got Ole Miss tomorrow. So today when you're listening to this, and Georgia this week. So it should be interesting week for them as well to see kind of really where they're at.
Right. Yeah, it was funny. I was going through, LSU's, really their recent kind of string, not string of losses, but they suffered a couple of upsets at the hands of Florida and Arkansas. And after the Florida game, Kim Mulkey said that the next game against Arkansas will be difficult for post players because they're going to have to go guard the three. Well, spoiler alert, Arkansas shot 13 for 25 and put up 90 points. So that was a pretty prescient statement by Coach Mulkey. And yeah, Arkansas, like you said, it's one of those teams that can really go off due to their reliance on the three. And they did against LSU to the tune of 90 points. So
yeah, exactly. A team that if they hit their shots, and they're always going to be hard to guard, right? Because they do play such a guard-heavy lineup, and that's really difficult for a team to have their post players out there and really guard this team. So when they hit knockdown shots, they're going to be able to get some upsets, and they certainly did that against LSU. I think the other thing that Arkansas just does so well is, in addition to shooting the ball, is they take care of the ball. So while they're second in the country, only 10.7 turnovers a game, I feel like this season has been a lot about top teams like turning over the ball at a really high rate. And Arkansas is certainly not a team that's in that category.
Yeah, absolutely. They're kind of the the antithesis of Tennessee, or like you said, some of the other top teams, even like South Carolina, who I think they're, and obviously they're the consensus number one team, but they have, think their highest average turnovers for a season since it's been several, at least a handful of seasons. So it's I think our own Derek Willis wrote an article about how turnovers are, this was earlier in the season, but they're up this season. So that is apparently not affecting the Arkansas Razorbacks, and it's allowed them to pull off these upsets during the season.
Yeah, and I could see that translating into March for them as well. It's just, I think, taking care of the ball really well. It's not going to leave the door open for other teams to kind of capitalize on you turning it over. And then, I mean, I still think a team like South Carolina is going to the Final Four. Consensusly the best team in the country, but I think while we've seen some of these more narrow margins in SEC play is that the turnovers have been really high, and it does leave the door open a little bit. So I think it's something they really should need to focus on over the next month to clean up, because I just still don't know that it would make a difference, but it leaves them a little bit more vulnerable.
Yeah, Yeah, don't get me wrong. South Carolina is the consensus number one.
They have
a small issue. I'm nitpicking here. They have a small issue with turnovers, but, you know, Aaliyah Boston, Zaya Cook, Destiny Henderson, their exploits more than take care of, more than take care of that small issue. So yeah, they're good. They're okay.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't think it's going to cost them it. It's just something picking the one thing this team really needs to improve. I mean, we've seen it, right, where they'd spent a little too close for comfort that game against LSU. They turned the ball over 21 points. Looking at that Florida game that was only 12 points, they turned the ball over 21 times. So it's definitely a problem. The same thing with the Arkansas team game, actually, when I was like, well, how did Arkansas hold up to 61 points while they turned over the ball 19 times? So that will do it. Yeah, just something I think the game has to work on a little bit. I don't think it's really going to cost them, but I think it could cost them when they get to the Final Four. I think that's the stage where it could cost them. Like, they're the clear favorite to win the national championship, but if you turn the ball over 20 times in the Final Four game, I think you're probably going to lose.
Yeah, no, agreed. Yeah, although I think it's funny you say that. I think I'll have to go back. I was putting together stats the other day. I think Stanford actually turned the ball over 20 times in the national championship game against Arizona. I'm sorry to contradict you. It's just something that randomly popped into my head. No, in general, absolutely. I think if you turn the ball over 20 times, just because the margin is so razor thin at the high of a level that if you cough it up 20 times, you're probably not going to emerge victorious. So yes, in general, sorry, that was just an exception that randomly popped in my head, but otherwise, yes, completely agree.
Agreed. I mean, honestly, I think a lot of teams have the problem, so it might not cost them, but I think it's just something for them to work on if we're nitpicking.
Agreed.
Yeah, I guess we have to talk about Kentucky. There's not really much to say, but 2-7. I feel like we're talking about a Kentucky team that was ranked in the top 25 that now we're like, I don't know that they're going to the tournament.
And honestly, which tournament are we talking about here?
I think the NCAA tournament ship might have sailed already, honestly. They're probably going to the NIT. I don't see it any other way. Interesting. To me, it's so interesting that you've got the pretty much consensus number one draft pick. And yes, she just doesn't have a lot of help around her. But I mean, this is a Kentucky, unless I'm missing something, it's not that much of a different Kentucky roster than it was last season.
No, not aware of. It's, again, it's as much of a head scratcher as Tennessee's recent slide is, Kentucky's slide is just is much more complexing on it, is much, yeah, much more. Complexing. It's just, it's bizarre. They're 2-7 in the SEC. They have the consensus number, probable number one, pick in the WNBA draft. And it's just, I can't explain it. I had kind of support for why, Tennessee has kind of struggled in the last four games. I just can't make heads or tails of what's going on with the Kentucky Wildcats. Ryan Howard's kind of doing her thing, but otherwise it's kind of a mess. I don't know what's going on in Lexington, but if they don't turn things around quickly, they're certainly not going to make the NCAA tournament. And honestly, the WNIT, if they continue on this trend, I don't even know if that's in the cards, as crazy as that sounds. So
they're a sub 500 team right now.
Yeah, exactly.
I think they've got a little bit of a break in their SEC slate coming up, but mm-hmm. I mean, they still have to play South Carolina, and they still have to play Arkansas, and they still have to play Mizzou. Those are all going to be tough outs. Alabama, Vanderbilt, Auburn. It feels like they probably split that last stretch, which still leaves them sub 500, unless you win two games in the SEC tournament, which I don't know that that's happening. So I don't know.
Exactly. Unless they make a crazy run kind of toward the end of the regular season and a deep run in the SEC tournament, I don't see how they make the NCAA tournament. They're a sub 500 team. They're two. I know the SEC is, like we said, it's a very tough conference, top to bottom, but still expectations were pretty high for this Kentucky squad, and they have fallen far short of them. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they, if they can turn things around down the stretch.
Yeah, it will be very interesting to see. I don't think I have high hopes. I think
same. Same. Sorry, Wildcats fans, but yeah. Don't see it in the cards.
Well, outside of the SEC, while we're talking about potential number one draft picks, I mean, I think we kind of know that it's Brian Howard, but the other option is Melissa Smith. I feel like Baylor, Texas at least deserves a conversation on this podcast, even though we're focusing on the SEC. The team played twice this weekend, Friday and tonight. I mean, two great games. Baylor wins both of them. So a big weekend for Baylor in terms of picking up some statement wins, boosting their resume, and their Big 12 case as well. But Melissa Smith went off today.
She did, absolutely, especially down the stretch. Texas was in control, and in the fourth quarter, she just went off and, you know, took control inside and really put the Baylor Bears on her, Lady Bears on her back, and basically willed that team to victory. And that's huge. Two wins in 3 days against Texas. That's no small feat. So yeah, congratulations to Baylor. That's definitely helps build the resume. And I would expect them to, where were they in the last top 16? So they're four. I would expect them to bump up a bit in the next top 16 reveal, I think on Thursday. So.
Yeah, that is Thursday, which is going to be fun for it. And on the theme of chaos, Baylor is now just third in the Big 12 standings, even with those two wins at 7-3. Iowa State and Oklahoma both ahead of them with two losses. And Texas now at six in the Big 12 standings at 5-5. So straight chaos.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, Texas is a team that's probably going to fall a little bit in those, the top 16 seed reveal this week, I think. So I'm very interested to see what that looks like. It's always fun that the committee gives us this in the middle of the season, just gets you like a bearing of where their heads are at with where things stand, which I think is always very interesting to see. I know a lot of like the attention last reel got on like UConn being in Spokane, but I personally like don't really take much from what region everyone's in at this point, because it, you know, that part becomes irrelevant so quickly. But seeing where teams stand in terms of rankings against each other, I think is very interesting to see, especially as we head into, you know, late February, and then we get one again, I think, at the end of the month before March starts. So hopefully we get that picture again before conference tournaments, which will be always fascinating to see. And I'm sure it'll change just as much as it did this week, because the one from 2 weeks ago is entirely irrelevant at this
point. Yeah, exactly. No, I'm all for transparency, and I appreciate that the committee gives us this look at kind of where their heads are as to, you know, what the top 16 is. So it's interesting to see how they handle teams like UConn, who clearly aren't at full strength, but are kind of starting to put the pieces together, and honestly won't be really at full strength until probably like late February. Mm-hmm. But obviously they had a huge win, you know, today against Tennessee. So it'll be interesting to see how they, you know, take into account like the absence of, you know, Duchamp, but mostly Paige Bueckers, and how that informs where they put UConn in the top 16. So
yeah, and I think it's gonna be really interesting to kind of watch that trend with them, especially kind of over these next two reviews and then on Selection Sunday, because I don't know that you can totally adjust for like the fact that they don't have Paige Bueckers until you know for sure that Paige Bueckers is back. Not that anything suggests that she's not back, but like I don't really know that that's been fully taken into account at this point. So I think it's going to be very interesting to see kind of how they move over the next month and stuff with her return. I would assume she should be back by the 28th reveal, so we'll probably get a better picture of that then. But then, yeah, I think it's just going to be interesting to see kind of like a team like Tennessee that has so many good wins, but now has the slide and two. I mean, the UConn win on it or loss, I won't call bad, but the other two are pretty bad losses. So lose to 25 to Florida, and then to lose to Auburn. So how much does that slide them? And then of course we saw four SEC teams and four Big 12 teams in it 2 weeks ago. A lot of those teams have lost now. So how does that change that picture?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. No, I'll be very interested to see what they do with Tennessee. Again, sir, not to harp on this. Apologies, Lady Vols fans, but yeah, that this recent 1-3 slide, they're certainly dropping from the one spot. I'd be a bit surprised if they, like, I think we were talking about this beforehand. I'd be a bit surprised if they dropped completely out of the top 16. But they, yeah, I would imagine at least the three, if not the four spot for them. So.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's out of the question for them to drop off entirely. I'd be surprised if it happened. I think they're probably somewhere on the four line, probably near the top of the four line. I think they probably fall a little bit further than the three line. I could be wrong, but a lot of teams have losses, but those are bad losses. And I think a lot of the teams kind of in between there that have collected a lot of losses are not necessarily bad losses. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how the committee values their wins versus those bad losses. And then also some of their wins, just, you know, a win like Kentucky, that before being Kentucky by, I know, 25 points or something like that looks really good. That doesn't really look so great anymore. I mean, they do have a good win over Georgia, so like that will certainly help them. But, you know, Kansas, Texas. So they have some quality wins, but I think, you know, they don't have that, I guess, statement win at this point, other than, unless we're going to consider Georgia a statement win, which that's fine. But they're kind of almost in that position that UConn was in like a few weeks ago now, that they don't have a statement win.
Right. Yeah, I have to be honest, I feel a bit foolish in one of my weekly roundups. I think it was after the Kentucky win or after the Georgia win, I forget, I made a statement that Tennessee is for real, because they were like in the top five. And then, you know, right after that, they do a great job of proving me right. They go 1-3. So I don't know if it was my jinx or whatever, but yeah, unfortunately, I think I agree. I see them probably dropping to the top of the four line. And yeah, they don't really have, I guess if you count Georgia, that might be a statement win, but otherwise, yeah, not so much. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, it will certainly be interesting. I mean, the Georgia win's on the road. It's a good win.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to kind of see kind of where that, how that shakes out. And I mean, they've still got time too. They've got six tournaments here to right the ship before the SEC tournament. So plenty of time to pick up standard wins.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you, Adam, for joining me.
Thanks, Megan. Always a pleasure.
Well, that's all for today's episode. Thank you for listening. As always, make sure you rate, like, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening to us. Leave a comment if you're watching on YouTube. It helps other people find our work. Also, be sure you're subscribed to the SAT site. It is just $20 a year to subscribe. We've got all the NCAA and WNBA stats that you need. Lots of stuff going on right now with WNBA free agency. We have our cap sheets up on the SAT site. And then also, you know, the tournament's coming up. We've got our own rankings for all the NCAA teams in Division I, as well as Division II and Division III. So lots of great stuff to check out heading into it almost being March. Also, be sure to subscribe to our newsletter on Substack. It's free to get all of our best content in your inbox throughout the week. And be sure to follow us on social media at Her Hoop Stats on all platforms. Thanks again for listening.